The reason why I chose the text that we're in this morning is because for the last 2 months at our church, we've been in heaven. I've never really did a study on heaven. And so we just, for 6 weeks, we just looked at heaven and seen what the Word of God is. We started actually looking at end times. I felt a real importance to let the people know, look, we're living in these last days. I mean, you'd have to be a fool if you're not seeing what's going on in the world today. In fact, the last book of the Bible, you turn in the last page of your book, it's in red letters, three times Jesus is saying, "Behold, I come quickly." And then he reminds us, he says, "I come quickly with my reward." There's a reward, guys. There's this place, heaven. And so basically, you know, all the studies were culminating to this place, heaven. And I wanted to know what is it about? In fact, we know our brother Paul the Apostle. There in 2 Corinthians 12, he tells us, "I was in such a place. I was caught up in that place in the Spirit." But he doesn't give us any help. He actually says there, he says, "And I heard inexpressible words," which... if it's not lawful for a man to utter. Gee, thanks a lot, Paul. I mean, you were there and you got nothing to share to us? In fact, how about this one? There in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he tells us there, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Come on, Paul, give me a little more. I know God's prepared this place for me. What is this place? But listen. In verse 10, listen what he adds. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." See, what God showed me is he has revealed this place to us. He has showed us. This book we hold in our hand, guys, it has all the answers. There, I think it's over 523 times the word heaven appears. He describes this place. He tells us all about this place. I mean, Matthew in his book, 70 times he talks about this place. In fact, Jesus mentions this place when, you guys remember that time when his disciples said to him, "Jesus, teach us to pray." I always find that amazing that they didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, teach us how to heal. Hey, Jesus, teach us how to walk on water." No, it was, "Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to commune with the Father." And what did he say? Simply say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He's in heaven. He's on earth. Jesus, we just read how he is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. So I want you to know it's a real place. It's not a state of mind. As you uncover the pages, especially when you get to Revelation 21, and it described there this new heaven, this new earth that God is going to create for us. It's incredible. In fact, he told John, just so you and I would know, "Listen, all right, really, Bob, there's this place, heaven. It's going to be brand new. Everything's going to be new." He told John there in verse 5, he says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" I've been a Christian now for 38 years, and Jesus has never lied to me. His word has never lied to me. In fact, later on, when you go towards the end of the book there in Revelation 22:6, he says the same thing. "These words are faithful and true." This is what's coming. This is what's coming down the pike. Just that thought, "I'm making everything new." Some of us, we think this is it. "I never had a brand new car." You're going to have a brand new car. You're going to have a brand new body. "Oh, I've never been to Hawaii." Hawaii, Samai, whatever. Who cares? Guys, this is what Paul is telling us. This is not it. We're going to heaven. Listen to this verse. This is true. 21:4, he says there, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Some of us need to hear that. Some of us, this life is really hard. It's painful to us. The sorrow that it brings. We need to know this. I remember when we began this study, I told my people, I said, hey, listen to me. If God gave you the choice today, would you go to heaven today? Or would you rather, no, Lord, give me 10 more years? You know, it's interesting. Most of the people in my church, they were like, no, Bob, I'd like 10 more years. That was before the studies. I mean, they can say, as Paul now, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. It is far better to be with the Lord. See, this is the thing. Many of us don't know about this place. And I think this is kind of what Paul was even talking about here. These are the things we need to set our attention on. These are the things we need to know that are coming down the pike. See, some of us, if we're honest, we think heaven's going to be boring. I mean, this is Hollywood. They basically got this 24/7 fog machine going on. And, you know, everybody's dressed the same. Everybody's got a white gown on. And basically, we think it's just going to be this long church service. You know, but they're all misconceptions. I believe from the father of lies. Listen, we had a taste of it yesterday. I'm sitting there. I'm just like just so amazed at the voices, the praising of God. The Bible, the psalmist said, in his presence is a fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. This place is going to be incredible. Dr. David Jeremiah says, he says, when we get to heaven, when we are in the presence of God, everything we do will bring about perfect satisfaction and reward. We will never engage in anything that leaves us feeling even a tad bit empty. Everything we do will bring us absolute and total fulfillment and joy because that's the way God has created us. In paradise, we will finally feel the completeness that we were created to enjoy. See, you know, guys, we have this void. One of the things I realized in our study is that the Lord himself has actually placed within our hearts, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in your hearts. In fact, Augustine, one of the early church fathers, he was the one that was saying, there's this void, there's this emptiness, and it's till it's filled of God, it's never going to be satisfied. And some of us, we're still on that treadmill trying to think, well, no, this is going to make me happy. The marriage will make me happy. The kids will make me happy. The job will make me happy. The career will make me happy. The motorcycle will make you happy. It's never going to make you happy. It will never satisfy. Again, we think that only in this life, in the land of the living, will we find significance and satisfaction. But listen, actually, this is the land of the dying, and we are actually heading to the land of the living. Listen, heaven is what we're to set our minds on. That's what Paul is talking about here, where Christ is. That's where we're to see. You know, the Bible says those whose minds are steadfast on thee, he keeps in perfect peace. And guys, listen, we're going to heaven. I encourage you, man, you go online, you can listen to the messages. There's some incredible stuff, but begin to realize what is coming because this world is passing away. That's the thing we forget. This world is passing away. Everything in it is passing away. Jesus, our Savior, there in John 14, as he's about to transport from him, he told them, listen, I'm leaving, and they're bummed out. I'd be bummed out too. But he says, I'm not leaving you alone, guys. I'm giving you the comforter, the helper, who's going to come in you, alongside you. He's not going to be behind you or in front of you. He's going to be in you. He said these words. Listen, and some of you need to hear this. Let this word, I believe it's so powerful, this word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And I love this last part. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He personally is preparing this place for you, the very God who created you, who loved you. Some of us, we're still sitting back thinking, I don't know if I can fully commit to these things. I'm telling you right now, you're not living until you come all in, guys. See, why is it that we have such a hard time realizing the God who created us, the God who knows us, who knows exactly what we need, we don't go to him. We don't come to him with awe. Why is that? Why is it that some of us, we still struggle with the fact, God, you love me. You know, in Colossians 1 and 2, you know, Paul just, this is his style. In Ephesians, in Romans, he spends chapters letting us know who this God is, what he's done for us, how much he loves us. We're getting a lot of new Catholics that are coming to our church. They just closed 3 Catholic churches around us. Amen. And it's amazing. God bless you, brother. Sadly, he goes to our church. No. But listen. We just began the book of Ephesians, and I opened up to chapter 1, and you guys know chapter 1's incredible. In fact, from verses 3 to 14, Paul, like a fire hose, you just read those 12 verses, and he's just letting you and I know who we are in Christ Jesus. He has set us. It's already done. That's what I love about it. See, I was always wondering, oh God, how do I get in? How do I get in? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God the Father has already placed you in Christ. The moment you believed. I watched those guys that came forward yesterday. And I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday. When I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And it was at that moment he had already seated me in heavenly places. It was there where we read he's predestined us. Imagine that, guys. He tells us there, I chose you before the foundations of the earth. I needed to read that because sometimes it blows me away. Lord, are you sure you knew what you got when you got me? I mean, you got a lemon, Lord. I think it was Spurgeon. He's the guy that said, well, of course he had to choose us before the foundations of the earth, because if he chose us after we were born, he never would have chose us. But see, it's there we read everything time passed. I redeemed you. I forgave you of all your sins according to the riches of my glory, according to the riches of my grace, that grace which never depletes. It was amazing to watch our pastor up here last night and just you hear his heart. And he so wants you and I to experience that grace. He was saying, prodigals, come back. Come back. There's nothing you've done that you can't come back. He wants us to know this. And guys, I want to encourage you. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Never take that for granted. The same spirit that was in Christ Jesus. Some of us, we have a problem with love. Some of us have a problem of forgiving those that have hurt us, kids that have hurt us, people that have hurt us. Listen, the same love that was in Christ is in you and me. And the same power, resurrected power. I needed to know that as a new Christian. Because I came in with a lot of garbage in my life. Pornography, full of it. At the age of 6, 7 years old, I can remember these books were all over the place in my house growing up. And he saved me. He delivered me from all that stuff. See, this is the power. And in fact, he tells us there in Ephesians that it's guaranteed there in verse 13. He's guaranteed us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to seal us. Listen, saints. You and I are so secure in Christ Jesus. As I was preparing, I'm thinking, God, I got one chance with these guys. I want them to know this stuff. I want them to know this God loves them incredibly. He's went to such great lengths to prove this to us. And this place in heaven is real. Peter tells us in his epistle, he says, this place, heaven, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm so glad he said that. That's where you're going, guys. We need to know that. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see my mom again. I'm going to see my dad again. When we did that study, it was amazing to hear how it says, God tells Abraham, he says, or when Abraham passed, he was gathered with his people. When Moses died, he was gathered with his people. I'm going to be gathered with my people again. And I'm going to be changed. This place where Jesus says, it's you know, because I came from Catholicism, and basically it told me, well, I remember going to the priest. I was 11 years old. What could I have done at 11? I've done a lot, but I remember going to him saying, Father, am I going to heaven? And he looked at me. He says, well, Bob, we don't know. But listen, here's our hope. You have purgatory. And Bob, you can go to purgatory. You can go there 5,000-10,000 years. Listen, he's telling me I'm 11 years old. Only to read God's word, which is true, that says to me where Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me, listen, in paradise. In paradise. That's where we're going. So what does he tell us to do here? Look at verse 2. He says, set your minds on things above, not on the things of this earth. Seek on these things above. In fact, the Greek rendering means to continually do this. Keep on thinking about these things. And it's telling us with intensity, with an urgency. Why? Because this world is passing away. That car is passing away. That house is going to pass away. See, the reality of these studies in heaven has really intensified to me what's really important in life. It's not things. It's people. It's people. I'm really beginning to see people now. Like, oh, God, I want to see my aunt there. Lord, I want to see my uncle there. Lord, I want to see my neighbor there. See, this is what's supposed to be happening. We're to be thinking on these things. This earth is passing away. And life is like a vapor. Isn't it, guys? I'm 57 years old, man. It's like this. I could still remember kindergarten. I could still remember the smells of the crayons and myself wetting my pants. And, you know, sounds like a psychiatrist thing. Like, oh, God, I have a mess. No. But time goes so fast, right? In fact, listen to this. In 1 Chronicles 29:15, David says this. We are here for only a moment. Aliens, pilgrims in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? I'm realizing that more and more. This one life will soon pass, but what's being done for Christ is going to last. What are we doing with our lives, guys? I think this is a great time because this is when God gets our attention. When we come to conferences like this, when we're gathered together with other men, and we begin to ask ourselves those soulish questions, Lord, what am I doing with my life? Where am I going with my life? You know, Paul's going to tell us in Ephesians 4:1, he'll say there, I therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beg you, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I beg you. You guys all know one of my favorite verses, Romans 12, where the apostle there is, our brother is saying, I beg you, I beseech you, I implore you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, the ideas, for once and for all, as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Listen, which is your reasonable service. In light of what he's done for us, guys, you were saved for a purpose. He has a plan for you. This is the thing that blows my mind. He wants to use us. He wants to use us. And then in verse 2, this is powerful. He says there, and do not be conformed to this world. Does God know us or what? But be transformed. I'm so glad he didn't say, and be, you know, some transformed. He uses the word transform. It's a supernatural word because it's a supernatural work of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Paul's telling us here, stop letting this world squeeze you into its mold. I was talking to a brother this morning and we were just talking about the distractions of this life. It never ends. Just coming here, I'm sure there were so many distractions to get your mind off that. To not think about these things. You got time. That's another thing, young people. You know, I think that is a lie from Satan. You have all the time in the world. You don't. You are not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. But God has created us for greater things. Do we realize this? Do we see this? There's services. There's ministries. As a dad, as a brother, as a son. And listen, we're missing it, guys. You're missing it if you're not seeing your daughters, your kids, the world that they're living in. See, I love Pastor Joe. I listen to him every day. And you hear his heart is like for the next generation. And now I'm there. I'm at that place where I have two granddaughters and I hold them and I love them. And I know the sickness of this world. I know the pervertedness of it. Many of us, you guys that are my age, you see how rapidly changing this world is. We can't even figure out what bathroom to go to anymore. I mean, it is crazy stuff I've never... And I worked in the prison. Again, I remind you, I worked in the prison. I was not in the prison for 25 years. I meet the craziest people. Hey, Bob, you did 25, I did 30. It's like, keep your hands in your pockets, you know. See, many of us are missing it. We're distracted by this world. It's movies, it's influences. They're constantly grabbing hold to us. In fact, John warns us. John in his epistle at his time says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James tells us, you love this present world. And he's not talking about people. He's talking about the cosmos, the system. He says, if you love this world more than God, you're at enmity with God. And he reminds us there in verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here it is. Listen. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. In fact, in verse 18, he adds, little children, it is the last hour. Listen, we're in the last hour, guys. We're in the last hour. I mean, look what's going on in this world. And God's message is to draw near to him. You know, it really hit me as a Christian, as a believer, because again, I know I'm going to heaven. Heaven's secure for me. But you know, I did one of the Sundays, I took verses 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul tells us there, he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he or she has done, whether good or evil. That's you and I. Now, just so you know, he's not talking about a judgment seat. We bypass, thank God, the judgment seat. In fact, I encourage you in between the breaks to look at Revelation 20 that talks about that white throne judgment. And those who are lost, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're going to go to that place. It's a real place of everlasting fire and torment. Not created for you and I, but because we've neglected, we've forsaken, we put off, we ignored so great a salvation. But we're all going to appear before the seat someday. I don't know about you, but that humbled me. And it really started making me think about the time that's been given to me. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I go right to the obituaries now in the paper. And I see, all right, listen, how am I doing? Okay. 60, 70. But listen, sadly, how many young people, 19, 20 years old, are dying of overdoses? It's huge. My nephew just started on the police force. He was on the job for just 2 weeks, and he held in his arms a 30-year-old young man while his two kids are crying for their father who died. People are passing away. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with our influences? What are we doing with the talents? I want to remind you, it's all going to matter someday, saints. It's all going to matter someday. In fact, listen to what Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each work and what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. I marked that in my Bible. He's going to suffer loss. But he or she themselves will be saved, yet as though fire. See, when I first got saved, it was amazing to me that God so loved me. I have a twin brother. And it was interesting. My twin brother, as soon as he got saved, he went right into Bible school. He wanted to be a pastor. I was just glad I was saved. And I really just kind of would look at something like this and think about something and just say, well, I'm going to make it to heaven, right? I don't care if people are patting me back. I made it into heaven. But see, I've tasted of his love. I've tasted of his kindness. This poor white kid, man, from I was in a very bad neighborhood in Yonkers. We were the only white family there. And growing up under that, I mean, 8 kids in the family. My father, a very severe alcoholic. It was a mess. It was a mess, my life. But my sister got saved, and she shared this gospel. See, I never heard before that God loved me, that God cared about me. And as I began to look at these scriptures, it blew my mind that God had a plan for me, that if I really would just trust him, if I would believe on him, and I'm telling you right now, I feel like David. There's a psalm where David describes, Lord, you've taken me from the sheepfold and you brought me into the throne room. I mean, people all the time, they're like, Bob, are you really a pastor? They can't believe it. I remind them that God has chosen the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. But to stop laughing, a lot of you guys, you're not all that either. He's chosen the foolish things. But listen, what I'm trying to say is that there is going to come a time when we will come to the throne of God. In fact, I love where Paul in 2 Timothy 4:8, where he writes to us and he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Who have loved his appearing, who have longed for his appearing. See, I want to finish well. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear well done. You know, hey, well done. No. I want to hear well done, my good and faithful servant. Because it's going to matter in eternity. Because in Revelations 4:10, it talks about us before the throne, looking on the one who saved us, who so loved us, that we're going to take those crowns and we're going to cast them at his feet. I want to cast that crown before his feet. You know, there's a scene in the movie Gladiator. I love that movie. Where Maximus is about to go into battle and he's with his men. And he says these words, "What you do in this life echoes into eternity." what you do in this life will echo into eternity. Jesus says those words, whatever you've done to the least of them, you've done it unto me. This is why he tells us in Matthew 6, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Rather, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Listen to this. This is it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. See, this is good, this conference, because it makes us stop. It makes us think, where's my treasure? Where's my treasure? Because wherever my treasure is, Jesus, the creator of the universe, says, that's where your heart is. Well, right now, Bob, my treasure is, I want success. I want... Listen, your treasure, which should be treasured, is your relationship with your wife and your kids, your father, your mother, your family. I'm telling you right now, all these other things are just distractions. You know, I love Skip Isaac. He says, sometimes a good thing can be a bad thing if it's keeping you from the best thing. What did Jesus say to us, guys? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I've experienced that. As I was growing in the Lord, it was constantly, God was bringing me to that place. You first, Lord. It's you first, seeking first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things came. That's why Paul could be, he was able to say there in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, we need to fill in that space. For me to live is what? For you to live is what? Like, what is it? What are you living for? You need to find out. Because it needs to be Christ. It needs to be Christ. You know, Paul's first question when he experienced the Lord, what was his first question? Who are you, Lord? Who are you? And he would spend the rest of his life finding out who he is. Who are you, Lord? Because it's interesting, Warren Warsby does this. He takes Philippians 1:21 and then he puts it next to Philippians 2:21. Listen to what it says there. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. All seek their own. And I'm telling you, what I love about this book is that book, it points out to us. One of our pastors, he's been going through the book of Genesis. And he was going through Genesis chapter 4, and there you guys you know the read. It talks about Cain and it basically gives his genealogy, and he begot this one and he begot that one, and there were, you know, people in the world's eyes. It says Cain builds this city. There were inventors, there were warmongers, there were boasters. But in the end of their life, it just says they die. But listen, when you get to Genesis 5 and it talks about the line of Adam from Seth, after each name it says, and Adam lived, Seth lived, Enoch lived, Noah lived. In Hebrews 11 it tells us there, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. See, that's the thing we're shown of the saints of old. When you look at the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11, these were people that were looking unto the Lord. They were pilgrims here. They were sojourners. They held the things of these world lightly. I love Abraham, man. Abraham. It says, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This guy, Abraham, you read about his life. Genesis 13 says he was bent over in wealth. I'd like to be bent over in wealth, right? That's rich, right? He was so rich, but yet the word of God declares that he was a man of a tent. He never built his own kingdom. He was a guy that never planted his stakes in the ground, but rather it says he was a man of altars. He was a guy that lived his life having new new encounters with the living God. You read his life. He had new encounters, and God showed himself greater and greater and greater. And I'm telling you, what a way to live, guys. Not holding on to the things of this world, but living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Keeping our eyes on the prize, keeping our eyes on the upward call, which is Christ Jesus. And you know, I was looking at those Old Testament saints. It tells us there. Notice it said there. It says, not having received the promise, but having seen it afar, we've seen the promise. We've seen the promise. We've seen Christ. We've seen the evidence of Christ. I mean, we showed that movie at our church, A Case for Christ. We have historical evidence of Jesus and the resurrection. We have more proof than they had. We have the changed lives. I am a testimony of God's grace. I am a trophy of his grace. He had taken a sinful, filthy, perverted person, and he's changed me and transformed me. Somebody needs to hear that today. Because you think you're stuck in that life. You think you're stuck. This is the way I'm always going to be. This was my father. This was my grandfather. I'm telling you right now, I started looking back to our roots. They were all drunks. And God has transformed my family. God has transformed my family. Changed us. Because this is what God does. He changes us. He fulfills his promises. And he's coming again, guys. Verse 4, look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's a fact. He doesn't say there, if Christ appears. Will you see that? It's when Christ appears again. And Jesus told us, an hour when we least expect it. I'm living in constant, you know, where, again, in Genesis, we went through Genesis 6. And God said he was going to send a flood. And there were nobody. Nobody believed it but Noah. Noah believed God, he and his family. God is saying again through the word of God, through Peter. Peter says it's all going to burn away. Do we realize that? Jesus himself says, when you see the fig tree bloom, speaking of Israel, know that that generation shall not pass away. I really believe we are going to see it. We're going to see his appearing in the sky. And this is what I really believe God has put on my heart for you guys. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you all in? I can tell you, I get Paul's heart now because I've witnessed this life-saving message of Jesus Christ. This is real. This is all passing away. In fact, you know this verse well, Philippians 3:20. Paul says, therefore our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, which according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He's coming, guys. That blows my mind that we're actually going to see him. We're going to see him, and the Bible says we're going to be like him. John tells us this, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him like he is. It almost sounds sacrilegious. We're going to be like him. And then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:49, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, speaking of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't have time, but read this because it talks about putting off. Put off. Actually, the first things it talks about is those sexual sins. Those things that have a way, again, you know, we're real people. This body is real. Paul called it this body of sin. and it wants to reject the things of God. But look at our TV, all these people that are having problems now in their political things because they couldn't control themselves. See, you and I have the power. In verse 10, Paul talks there about the new man. The new man in Christ. I mean, that word alone right there, the new man, is powerful. You are not like any other man. Do you realize that? You're not like any other man. It really became clear to me when it talked about Samson, and Samson was telling Delilah, well, if you do this to me, I'll be like any other man. Three times in that text, he says to her, I will be like any other man if you do this. You are not like any other man. You've been called for greater things. Greater things. You know, in that movie Superman, one of the older versions where Superman's father, his earthly father, you know, when he's struggling with, you know, these abilities that he has, and his father sees his abilities and he takes him aside and he says, son, he says, you can't just use, these powers are incredible. You need to use these things for the good. Paul tells you and I to take those members, meaning our eyes, our hands, our legs, these eyes that were once glued to sin, these hands that once stole or beat up people, these legs that once ran to sin. He's saying now you take those things and you bring them under the power and the submission of Jesus Christ. And you use those eyes for God's glory. You use those hands for God's glory. You use those legs for God's glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these men. Lord, I really believe it's for such a time as this that you have called us here. You've gathered us here together. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you would just form relationships here, that guys would get closer. And that we would encourage one another and realize this is not it. But that you have called us to greater things. That you're our Father, our Heavenly Father, and you care so much about us. And that sin that so easily besets us, that snare that seems to draw us away. Lord, I pray that my brothers would see that the prayers of a mighty man are powerful and effective, that they availeth much. That they would see the inner man, the inner power. That God promises, as Paul says, for this I'm sure, of he who began this work in you, he will finish it in Christ Jesus. Bless your guys, I pray in Jesus' name. God bless you guys.